Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Providence Journal presents Nick and Bob, the college basketball podcast for Rhode Island and around the nation, with your hosts, Kevin McNamara and Bill Koch.
Hello and welcome to the Providence Journal's Pick and Pop podcast. This is Kevin McNamara in downtown Providence on a very strange Monday, March 16th, alongside Bill Koch. Bill, happy to podcast with you once again, sir.
Kevin, I want all the listeners to know that we are practicing safe social distancing here. Kevin is across from me, 6 feet away. We are here. We are doing the podcast, but we also are taking this seriously.
We are. We have our all-purpose cleaner. I just want everyone to know that. And we're going to get into what the world is evolved. I don't know what the word is. Into right now, and it's quite something. It's obviously something that none of us have ever seen in our lives before, where basically the world is getting closer and closer by the day to a self-quarantine. Just this morning, Governor Gina Raimondo here in Providence closed all the bars and restaurants one day before St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Delivery only. If you're comfortable with it, people, please get delivery from the local restaurants. Keep them afloat. I know so many restaurant and bar owners, I can't imagine them staying alive for if they're on ice for months at a time. So as long as they do offer pickup or delivery, feel free. They would certainly enjoy it. But this is a basketball, college basketball podcast. We're going to hit most of that. But I do want to begin with a little bit of my experience in New York last week. I was at the Big East tournament last Wednesday I actually came home on Friday morning, so spent two nights down there. And boy, timing is everything in life, Bill. I know you were following it just like everybody else. The sports world basically collapsed around me.
Yeah.
and around around the fans, around the players, around the coaches. Just a little bit, I'll tell you what happened. Go to the Big East tournament on Wednesday. Georgetown's playing St. John's. It's a really big crowd. Great game. St. John's storms from behind, scores the last 23 points in the game to beat Georgetown, and they're excited about playing Creighton. The next day, during that game, other leagues around the country were releasing information that they would play their conference tournaments without fans going forward, beginning on Thursday. The Big East also announced that, as did the Atlantic 10. The Atlantic 10 also began its tournament over in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center with fans, two games, and then Thursday we're going to try it without fans. So, you know, you go out Wednesday night, see some friends.
Sure.
Wake up the next day. This is going to be kind of cool. I'm going to see the Friars and Butler, two NCAA teams, two good teams, play before they were going to limit it to probably about 300 people.
Right.
Sat down, ready for the opening of the first game, St. John's against Creighton. And I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to happen.
Right.
You look at your Twitter, and the SEC cancels. The AAC, the American, cancels.
The Big Ten cancels.
The Big Ten cancels.
Right.
The Atlantic Ten canceled.
Yes.
The ACC is still out there. They're warming up. Virginia Tech and somebody maybe. And sure enough, just before 12 o'clock, they pull the kids off the floor.
Right.
Cancel. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to happen. And the two teams, Creighton, St. John's, are back in their locker rooms. It's like, you know, 3 of 12. The fans are kind of looking around. I'm like, this isn't going to happen. They come running out. The band start playing. The mascots are jumping around. I'm like, okay, looks like we're going to play a game.
Yeah.
Ball goes up. They were the only conference playing. Sure enough, just before tip-off, Val Ackerman, the Big East commissioner, she had been in touch with other commissioners and seriously considered pulling the plug before they even started. The Big East had been in close conversation with the health department in the city of New York, and they had a conversation just around 12 o'clock as well, where the city was finally going to declare a state of emergency,
right,
and have no crowds above, I think they said 500 at the time.
At that time, yes.
Yeah, so that was it. At halftime, the Big East ended. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's really too bad. But, you know, the NCAAs, you know, did you think that the NCAAs would go right then and there? Because, well, I kind of assumed so, but I wasn't convinced.
They did wait until later in the afternoon. I think it was about 4:15 or so.
Yep.
You know, you actually made it to New York. I did not. You or I was supposed to play on Friday night.
And you weren't going to come until Friday.
I wasn't going to leave until Friday morning or, you know, maybe very early afternoon. And so, you know, I'm sort of watching all this develop. On Tuesday, the A-10 announced that they were going to restrict locker rooms. They were going to close them. Which is nothing new for me because URI has a closed locker room all year, and a lot of other college programs do as well. So I didn't really think much of that. Wednesday night, when they announced that they were going to restrict fans at the A-10, you could sort of see that there was a momentum going in one direction. But you still thought, this is still going to go on.
Yeah.
They played the two games on Wednesday. They were going to start playing a game on Thursday. It was going to be UMass and VCU at noon.
But I have to interrupt. The game changer was Wednesday night. I had left the Big East.
Yes.
Didn't want to watch DePaul and Xavier, in all honesty. And then, boom, Rudy Gobert tests positive for the coronavirus. A game that's about to start. Were they even started, the Utah game? Or
they were about to start.
Took the teams off the court, said goodbye to the fans, no game. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And I think that was the blow that took that everyone else acted off of.
Well, the NBA took the lead on this, and you know, full credit to Adam Silver for taking the lead on this, the NBA commissioner. When he announces that the NBA is going to be suspended, just unprecedented, Kevin, in our lifetimes. You know, with respect to any work stoppages, strikes that have happened, lockouts that have happened.
Right.
This is a first for you and I. And you know, when the NBA announces that they're going to suspend, I saw a couple tweets from college players, not from teams that we cover, but from players on teams in other conferences. And the gist of them was, the guys who are getting paid aren't going to play. I'm not getting paid. I'm going to go out and play for free in my conference tournament.
So you saw that on Twitter a little bit?
I did.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that I am cool with that.
Well, it's funny. I had seen someone, so Thursday I show up, again, ready for St. John's, and I'd seen another, I'd say, younger reporter. And I said, his name is John. I said, John, I don't think they're going to play. You know, some of these other conferences are banging. He goes, you know, I've talked to some of the players on other teams. A lot of them don't want to play.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sure enough, I didn't realize it because, again, I'm at the Garden, but I guess Duke and Kansas had told the NCAA or told their conferences that they don't want to play?
They had suspended all athletic travel, and that was a university decision.
I think
that was above the athletic departments.
Right.
You or I actually had good insight on this because Thor Bjorn currently is the chair of Atlantic 10 athletic directors. So he's sitting in and running a lot of these meetings.
Basically, yes.
Wednesday night, they
because the commissioner is on the basketball committee.
Bernadette McGlade is on the selection committee.
Right, ready to select the teams in a different meeting.
She's already with them, you know, starting on Wednesday, Thursday. They're starting to pick the field, whether it be seeding the automatic qualifiers already or, you know, going through some of the at-larges who are going to be obvious. So they have a regularly scheduled meeting. It's Thursday morning at Barclays Center. And they're supposed to talk about spring sports. Well, immediately they start talking about the future of the A-10 tournament. You know, and that was something that the athletic directors wanted to speak about at the time. They decided that they were going to go forward. They notified VCU and UMass that they were going to play in the first game. Thor gets a call from Bernadette McGlade. Actually, he gets a text message first from David Dooley, who's the URI president. And David Dooley says, we're going to cancel all travel for all university employees and student-athletes, which means even if you or I were to win the A-10 tournament, go to the NCAA tournament, they wouldn't have been allowed to participate.
Right.
So that starts coming through to Thor. He gets a call from Bernadette McGlade at about, you know, 11:35, 11:40, about 20 minutes before tip. And she says, hey, you know, some of the other ADs and folks that I'm here with, their conferences are talking about canceling. Duke and Kansas have shut down athletic travel. They're certainly going to be in the tournament. They're not going to participate. I think we should seriously consider pulling the plug. And Thor made some quick calls to, you know, other athletic directors in the A-10 who had scattered, and it was unanimous that they were going to, you know, stop playing the tournament and go home and sort of take care of themselves. Now, you're looking at a lot of these places where classes had already been moved remotely or canceled.
Sure, campuses were closing down.
You know, you couldn't really make a good case for continuing to play basketball. I just think that, you know, at this point, the last week, things have happened so quickly. I don't think that we've been able to comprehend what would come next. I also think that this is so unprecedented. I know we sat in our last podcast and I said, Kevin, I don't think the NIT is going to be played.
Right.
Because it's meaningless and I can't see with this going on.
Sure.
You know, university presidents or athletic directors putting their student athletes on planes, having them travel, whatever.
And at the time, Rhode Island had three cases.
Right.
Right.
I did not conceive that we'd reach a place where the NCAA tournament would be canceled, but that's how quickly our reality is changing here.
And the NBA and the NHL and spring training.
The Masters. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Everything. And, you know, forget that. Now you can't even go to church in Rhode Island.
Mm.
You know, it's unbelievable. It really, really is. And really, I wish everybody well. Safe havens. I'm a believer, so, and I know Bill is.
Me too.
Yeah,
no
so
question.
Just stay hunkered down, and hopefully our hospitals don't get overrun with too many sick people, because turn on your TV. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. But basketball. We do want to give
the fun in games.
We
emphasize that
true.
What's to follow here is not really the important stuff, but we're going to try to give you a little bit of a diversion here.
Yeah, and you know, these are discussions of people with nothing to do.
That's right.
Who are, you know, media, fans, players, coaches. And one thing that came out right away was, geez, well, NCAA, they should release a bracket and legitimize the seasons of the teams that deserve to go. At first, I was like, geez, that's a great idea. You know, that makes perfect sense. You can fill out the bracket with the regular season champions of the smaller leagues and pick the at-larges and put up a bracket, maybe even make it a TV show. The nation will get away from coronavirus for a while, and boy, it'll be fun. And then the NCAA and Dan Gavitt, who's and, you know, put the cards on the table, he's a good friend. I've known him for 30 years. I respect him through the roof. And they took their time to think about it. And anyone who read Dan's piece yesterday, they decided not to. And their reasons were quite principled. And I'm in favor of it. I don't know if you... I think you're not, Bill. You'd rather just see one and...
No, I agreed with you.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. You know, and I liked, you know, one particular line in the piece that you wrote for the Journal I thought really stuck out to me. And it was, the good thing for the Friars is they'll forever know that they earned an NCAA attorney bid in 2020. And I think that if you're a team that was truly in the field, whether you had already won your conference tournament or had done enough to this point, if you're willing to look in the mirror and be honest with yourselves, you know who's deserving of being in that tournament and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, what we're really talking about in that bracket reveal show is maybe five or six teams who are on the bubble.
The bubbles,
who are going to be in or going to be out.
Yeah.
Everyone else, you know who's going to be in there. You wanted to release a bracket because you wanted to pat yourselves on the back, or you wanted to rub it into your rivals, or some coaches were looking for bonus money, and they're not looking to sue their schools or their athletic directors to try and get that bonus money in their contracts. They're going to be in very murky legal grounds on that, in terms of, you know, hey, I was going to make the NCAA tournament, so you owe me $25,000 or whatever it is.
Right.
But that was all sort of self-gratification, and in the grand scheme of things, it really didn't mean anything. What we know from what we saw over 4 months is that Providence was going to be an NCAA tournament team, and I think you made that point very well.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think if I'm Providence, and I think I put this in the story too, I include 2020 on all of my NCAA banners, because guess what? It doesn't mean anything. It
doesn't.
It didn't happen, and whether you know, were totally deserved or not, I guess it really doesn't matter. And you were totally deserved. You were going to make the tournament. The players deserve that little honor. If you want to say that Ed Cooley made six NCAAs in 7 years, go right ahead. You know, that's up to you. All I know is programs like Duke and Kansas and
Michigan State,
they weren't hoping for a bracket to come out.
No, of course not.
I mean, does it really matter if I was a 2-seed or a 3-seed? No. It's completely irrelevant.
Not at all.
But so that broke on Sunday, so that kept us tied in a little bit. But hey, two things happened also this weekend. One was Rick Pitino is back. Iona Gales. It was funny. Our boss, Bill Corey, said, wow, any chance Iona is on anyone's schedule next year? I said, of course there's a chance. Why not?
Sure.
Why not? Iona may instantly go to the top of the list of teams you don't want to buy.
Oh.
But I can tell you right now, Iona has a couple big-time plans, and one is to play games at Madison Square Garden.
Of course.
So, Friars against Iona at Madison Square, and then up here at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. I think Ed Cooley would be wise to jump on that.
I mean, wouldn't it be fascinating?
Of course it would.
Rick Pitino coming back to the Civic
and
Center.
Get him now before they load up with five stars.
You know, just generally, though.
Yeah, and Rhode Island has played Iona several times.
They have.
At Ryan Center.
They have, yes, when Tim Kloos was the coach. They actually played in the NIT 1 year as well.
Yes, that's right.
At the Ryan Center.
But in general, Rick is back.
Kevin, you know Rick a lot better than I do. I've never actually dealt with him, but I would say this. There was a report of a dalliance between Rick and you or I a couple years ago.
Yes.
I said dalliance, and your eyes lit up because you were going to go in a different direction regarding Mr. Pitino.
Yep.
And his rather unscrupulous personal dealings.
No, he did have contact with URI people.
He had contact with URI boosters.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have contact with Thor Bjorn. He did not have contact with David Dooley. I remember, actually, it was my first year on the Red Sox beat, and I was sitting in the press box at Marlins Park when that news broke that URI might be interested in hiring Rick Pitino. And I shot Thor a text, and I said, Pitino? ? And Thor calls me immediately. No text response. And he says, Bill, I don't know where this stuff is coming from, but this is nonsense. I would never hire Rick Pitino. I said, I don't know the man whatsoever. He said, but considering his NCAA problems at Louisville and the fact that those haven't been resolved yet, I can't hire him. There's no way that I can entertain hiring him.
At that point, he was truly radioactive.
And he still should be, frankly.
Yeah, well, yeah, interestingly, now it's like a gray area. He was suspended for 5 games by the NCAA and then was ultimately fired.
Yes.
So he never served the 5-game suspension.
Correct.
The question is could they come out with a show cause against Rick Pitino?
Once they levy the penalties against Louisville, is Rick Pitino going to be involved in those penalties?
Right.
That's the question.
And so basically he's, there's two issues that he had at Louisville. One was Strippergate.
Yes. Which he didn't know anything about.
No, he didn't. It was in a dorm that I guess he didn't go into.
Yeah, of course.
Ever. And then there was Louisville's involvement in the FBI pay-for-play recruiting scam. Then that is not resolved yet via the NCAA.
That's right.
They really haven't acted on any of the FBI stuff. So schools like Kansas, Oklahoma State, and others.
Arizona,
top of the list maybe.
Yeah.
Are all still potentially facing some penalties from the NCAA and that. But anyways, Rick's back. He's in New York. Wingfoot is up the street. He's a member there. It's perfect.
Kevin Mack.
Now, I will say, somebody came right out and said, he'll be there for a year and bounce. I'm going to give Rick the benefit of the doubt, which is risky.
Wow.
Risky. He's 67.
Right.
Why can't he just see what he can do at Iona for 3 or 4 years? That's not.
I'm going to stop myself right here. That's not who he is.
That's not going to happen.
It's not who he is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. He did say one thing that, you know, and I'll be very upfront. I don't believe a word that comes out of Rick Pitino's mouth.
I caught that.
Not one. He made a statement to the New York press, something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, that his biggest mistake in coaching was leaving Providence College.
After 2 years.
And that if he could go back and do it all over again, he would have just stayed there and made his whole career there. Do you believe him, Kevin McNamara?
He said that many, many, many times.
Yes.
Obviously, only a fool would not leave Providence College for the New York Knickerbockers.
It's complete rubbish.
Yeah. Forget about the money. Forget about it's the NBA, and it's kind of a better job, the New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah.
With Patrick Ewing. Anyways, but that's Rick. Now, I will say that he may have enjoyed his time at Providence more than any other stop on the carousel.
Fair, but he didn't say
that. And that's what he should have said.
Yes.
And Iona, quote, reminds him of Providence. It's kind of a shot at the Friars.
Yeah,
I mean, they're in the Big East, like in 1986, playing Georgetown and Syracuse, and now you're going to play Rider.
Manhattan.
And Fairfield.
Yeah.
And Manhattan.
Yeah.
Now, is it a small Catholic school? Yes, it is.
Sure.
But that's about all it has in common. And by the way, it's not even run by priests anymore. It's run by a friend of Rick's.
Of course it is.
Who was the president at Transylvania University in Kentucky.
Oh, very good.
So that was the connection to this job.
Here's a local offshoot of this, and another one. You know, and obviously Pitino's huge local story with what he did in Providence here. But Iona actually did Bryant a huge favor, in my mind, by hiring Rick Pitino.
Yeah, I wonder if Jared Grasso would have been the next guy.
He would have been my number one candidate if I was running Iona. You know, he was Tim Clouse's right-hand man for a long time. He recruited a lot of those players who made five NCAA tournaments under Tim. You know, he's certainly shown in 2 years at Bryant some ability. You know, 10 wins followed by 15.
Sure.
That's coming from three. You know, 8 NEC Rookie of the Week honors this year. He had the Freshman of the Year in the NEC, so he can clearly recruit. You know, his teams have gotten better steadily over those 2 years. Now, he's set up at Bryant where he could be very good next year. But Bryant to Iona is certainly a move up.
Oh,
Iona's
sure.
a better job.
Sure.
You know, I would have to think that at the very least, you know, coaches and the nature of that business, you take that phone call. Now, I don't know whether or not they contacted Jared. I haven't spoken with him. But if I was at Iona, that's the type of coach who I would have brought in, someone who's on the way up, someone who's building. Because let's be realistic.
And knows the program.
That's right. Even if you hire Rick Pitino at Iona, are you winning the national championship?
No.
Are you going to the Final Four?
It's not about that at Iona. It's about getting to the NCAA tournament.
Right. And so, fine. There are plenty of guys who could get you the NCAA tournament at Iona without the baggage, without the risk that Rick Pitino brings you.
Yeah, I don't think they see it that way.
They don't at all.
I think they see it as we're going big time.
Yes.
And
yes, we can be St. John's.
By the way, they already were the best program in their league.
No question.
I mean, Iona is the best program in the MAC. It has been, got all the way back to when Tim Welsh was the coach and going to the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
I mean, they've been the best. Maybe they can be that Northeast mid-major that's in the top 25. You know Rick thinks he will bring in transfers that will make people's eyes pop.
Unquestionably. Yeah, and if the priests were still running the school, they'd be like, what did we do here?
Well, Tim Clouse and others at Iona didn't exactly recruit altar boys.
No.
They've won with tough inner-city kids, a lot on the rebound, JUCOs. This will just be more of the same.
Sure.
Yeah.
Only at Pitino level.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how long it takes. One more news item before we wrap up here. The Friars made some news on Monday, today. They got a transfer, and people around here should know him. He's Bryson Goodeen from New Bedford. St. Andrews, 3 years at St. Andrews. 1 year at Bishop Stang, where he led Bishop Stang to a state title.
Okay.
1 year, freshman year at Syracuse. He announced he was transferring, I think it was Friday. And 3 days later, he's at Providence.
Mm.
which is a little quick.
A little bit.
But he told me this morning, he said, I wanted a local school, and the local school I wanted was Providence, and they reached out. Coach Cooley called me on Saturday, and done. I said, have you ever been to the school? A million times. I said, boy, you know, I would imagine you know some of the players. He said, I play with David Duke in AAU in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
Right.
So.
Now, take me back to, you know, because obviously we should note that the NCAA is in the middle of a dead period right now in terms of recruiting. No on-campus or off-campus recruiting until April 15th,
right,
in conjunction with their coronavirus response. You know, obviously, Bryson has been, as you said, he's been on campus there. He knows Ed Cooley. How involved was Providence the first time when he selected Syracuse?
Yeah, I think to some extent, but he verbaled before his junior year.
Right, it was early.
He was really, really young. People knew him because he had a good year, sophomore year, his first year at St. Andrews. So I'm sure Providence was involved. I know Brian Blaney was definitely involved to some extent. But, you know, I actually went to watch St. Andrews scrimmage one day. It had to be in September of whatever it was, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Jerry McNamara and Jim Boeheim walk in. I'm like, Mike, who do you have? He goes, oh, the young guy. They love him. I'm like, who? He said, oh, it's John DePina. Jonathan DePina was a good player at UMass.
Sure.
That's his father.
I see.
And 2 minutes later, John DePina and his mother walk in. So it was basically a home visit at a practice that is allowed. And sure enough, like a week later, he verbals to Syracuse.
Right.
So to answer your question, he was recruited by other schools, but not to the Syracuse identified him really early and locked him up before he, quote, blew up. His junior year, he was, again, St. Andrews had a good year. His senior year, they won that Class AA. They beat Cushing.
Right.
They beat David Duke, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
I'm sorry. They played David Duke as a when he was a junior. And then as a senior, St. Andrews won.
You know, and he winds up a top 100 guy. You know, certainly has the pedigree to go to Syracuse. I know we spoke about it, you know, really throughout the year, the fact that he wasn't really playing a lot for the Orange, that he was behind a couple of players who might have had a little more prestige in upstate New York.
Well, how about these stats? So Jim Boeheim played four guys 33 minutes or more every game.
Right.
You, if you're not one of those guys, so Bryce averaged like 8 minutes a game. He played 10 minutes or more, I think it was 11 times.
Right.
He shot more than five times twice.
Right.
It's kind of tough to get things done. And the guys starting in front of him in the backcourt, one is a freshman and one is a sophomore by the last name of Boeheim.
Yes.
So I don't think things are going to change much up in upstate New York.
Yeah, Buddy Boeheim, the coach's son, and the other player you reference is Joe Girard, who's a local legend who scored over 3,000 points in high school.
He broke Jimmer Fredette's local Glens Falls area record. The star from BYU, and Jimmer scored a few points, too, in high school.
You know, and Girard was one of these guys who's a multi-sport all-state kid. I think he was a football quarterback who was highly recruited. You know, sort of one of these local legends who Syracuse, you know, occasionally gets, and they're occasionally good. But in this case, you know, if you're Bryson, you're looking at it and you're thinking, here's my future.
Yeah.
Stuck behind these two guys, no matter how good I am, maybe I should be looking somewhere else.
It's interesting. Bryson, I think, said he was transferring Friday, and then two other guards, reserve guards, announced they were transferring.
Yeah, Jalen Carey and Howard Washington.
Right. And I don't know what their market value is. Jalen Carey is a decent player who's had a knee injury. But so as long as he gets eligible, as we've talked about, the NCAA is working on getting all transfers a one-time exemption. They wouldn't have to sit out once in 4 years. So if that passes, and the goal is to get it passed for this fall, Gaudin would be eligible with the Friars. If not, he would certainly apply for a waiver, because that's what you do. You apply for a waiver.
Now, give me a thought on this, Kevin. And I know, you know, the NCAA hasn't started going through all this yet, but spring sports have been canceled. Obviously, all of their spring championships have been canceled. Spring athletes are going to be given a one-time redshirt year. You know, if you're a senior, you get a fifth year, you could graduate and transfer, theoretically. But everyone else is going to get an extra year. They're looking back at the winter season And allegedly it's under discussion whether or not they might give winter athletes a redshirt year. Now, for me, I think the spring decision is pretty clear-cut, and I think they're going to do the right thing.
Sure.
The winter I have a little more difficulty with, and trying to parse through that is going to be a little harder. Where do you stand there?
Yeah, my opinion is no. They did have their season. They played. Most, okay, there's only 68 teams make the NCAA tournament. So most played their whole seasons. They don't need to change a rule for just the 68 best teams. I just don't see that. Is it awful? Yes, it's horrendous. It's also an unbelievably great learning experience. Life isn't fair.
Yeah.
And it certainly isn't fair if you're Khalif Young and Malik White at Providence College.
Right. Or Jeff Doughton, Cyril Andrine.
Any senior who thought they could play in the NCAA tournament didn't have the opportunity. It's tough. It's very difficult. Move on.
No, I don't like it either, but I do agree with you. I was on with Yanni Caracas the other night, and I admitted that, this was a very sort of Pollyanna, gilded cage view, but you are a student athlete, student first. You should not anticipate that your sport is going to turn into your profession. You are using your sport to pay for your education. And so if you're someone like Jeff Doughton and you have a 3.5 GPA and you've been A-10 all-academic three times and you're a business marketing major, you are eminently employable if basketball doesn't work out. The fact that you didn't get a chance to play in the A-10 tournament, potentially play in the NCAA tournament your last year, it's an awful thing. And I certainly feel for Jeff and Cyril and other seniors. But I would say that you could use this as a teachable moment and say, look, guys, you might have a chance to play in the NBA or in the G League or over in Europe, but situations like what we're in now reveal, somewhat how trivial sports can be.
Yeah, and your character, it's really, I feel for all those kids for a lot of reasons, the seniors, for a lot of reasons. Number one is I don't think they'll graduate exercises.
Yes.
Bill, most of that stuff happens in May. CDC says no large gatherings for the next 2 months, right? So that puts us to mid-May. It's going to be awful hard for Providence College to fill up the Dunkin' Donuts Center for graduation or URI to do it on the quad in Kingston. I mean,
no question.
It's probably, that's the stuff that fans miss. They're like, they can't play in the NCAA tournament. No, they might not see their friends again. They might not be back on campus to see their friends again. They'll have to all come back at some point and move out of their dorms if they, didn't already to grab their clothes and whatnot. But everyone's life is frozen, turned upside down. It's just a really difficult situation. So, Bill, I promise, barring anything, I guess you can't predict the future.
We got a little bit of breaking news here on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Murphy, the youngest of the three Murphy brothers from South Kingstown, will transfer from Northeastern. He's going to graduate and have 2 years of eligibility. He just broke this news on his own on his Twitter account.
2 years of eligibility. That's right, because he was injured this year. That's right. So he could get a red shirt and then one more. I wonder where he's headed. I know he liked Northeastern and liked what he was studying. So then I'll be curious where he lands.
Yeah, his brother Alex obviously was a grad transfer to Northeastern. He has an advanced degree. So you would think he's going to probably pick somewhere with some sort of academic background. We know his mom, Pivey, will insist on that.
No.
Certainly.
They'll get the, quote, free grad degree.
No question.
Who wouldn't sign up for that?
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, I wish Thomas well. I hope he lands at a place that where he finds a nice fit.
No question.
Yeah.
So he'll be out there.
And we will be back with one more or maybe even more Pick and Pop podcast before the season. Well, the season's over.
Yeah.
But, Bill, we don't have much to do. You're the Red Sox writer with no spring training.
Yeah.
I'm the columnist, and this week I will become an NFL person because the NFL didn't get the message. They're going strong through free agency, right?
How tone deaf are they? Right.
Well, as long as they don't ask the free agents to get on planes and fly from Boston to Tampa, Is that how Tom would fly to Tampa? I guess he could fly his own plane.
Tom's flying private. Okay. Yeah, that's not...
But as long as that's not happening and it's, you know, telephone, and I actually don't have much of a problem with it. But if there's physicals and press conferences, no. No, there's none of that.
See, the horrible cynic in me looks at the NFL and the monolith that it is with every other sport shut down, and I say, look, they're just trying to monopolize the market even more than they normally do.
It's a home run for them.
So why would they push off free agency? This is perfect publicity for them. And it's just such an NFL thing to do, isn't it?
They're gross. There's no question.
They are.
They're the grossest league by far.
Yeah, they really...
I've been to a Super Bowl.
Right.
It's disgusting.
No, it's terrible.
I mean, only the rich can enjoy a Super Bowl.
You described it to me as the biggest football game of the year coupled with a convention running simultaneously.
Yes, and high-end entertainment.
Yes.
It's not just halftime. It's concerts and club shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Now, not that I've ever been to any.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Kevin Mack score a few tickets to some of these industry parties along the way?
The best one that I've seen was my pal Flo Rida.
Oh, that's good.
He was good.
Didn't you sneak into the Maxim party one year?
Yes, yes. The entertainment, I can't recall what the entertainment was, but the Maxim party was good.
This had to be a John Egan production.
John was there, but quite a few local media were there. I remember seeing quite a few Boston media.
Oh.
But, Maxim, you know, we're all in the press.
I didn't know you guys were that cool.
Well, we're in the press.
That's impressive.
You know? But that's a Super Bowl. That's a Super Bowl for you. It's all you know and how much you pay.
It's just such an NFL thing to look at an empty news cycle and say, hey, we can fill the vacuum. We're going to capitalize on this.
No, I can't disagree.
They're ugly.
But best of luck to everybody. Stay safe.
Yeah, please.
Stay healthy. Don't go to the mall. I guess you can't go to the mall. If your teenager says he's, you know, going to go out with, you know, one more friend, he's lying. He's going to be out with eight friends because guess what? No one has anything to do.
Right.
So just keep everyone hunkered down for a couple of weeks, and hopefully this can really help society at large.
Please, folks, take this seriously. Even if you're healthy, you could still be a carrier. Educate yourselves. Follow the CDC. Follow Dr. Fauci, who is just an outright stud.
He's great. And I like Dr. Scott here in Providence.
Yes.
I think she's excellent.
Yes, and I actually think, you know, the governor has done a good job here taking leadership. You know, she's been very informative and you know, forthright, I think. You know, but folks, take this seriously. We want you to experience many, many more Pick and Pop podcasts to come. You know, and hopefully we've helped you pass a little time here as you shelter in place. Have a great day.